Father, to know you, to have this incredible relationship through your Son, Jesus, the living God, Almighty God, and to be your children, to be alive, to experience you and relate with you. You relate with us, and what an incredible life that we have through your Son, Jesus. And this morning, as we sit together as a family of yours, Father, you're going to open up an amazing truth to help us as your children to live in the newness of life. We want to thank you for how you're going to teach us. We want to thank you, Father, for your incredible big heart and reaching out to help us in our life, to help us living in this world. And we want to thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit working within us. We want to thank you for the world you've given us. We want to thank you that we have been born for a moment like this. Father, we've received your grace to live in these days. It's not just a mistake, and we're not wishing that we were born 100 years ago, whatever, but now, Father, we embrace the now moment of being alive, for you to touch lives and for us to be involved with something so great, something so beautiful, to see people come to experience and to know you and get born again. And so we want to thank you for your Holy Spirit working in us and just opening up the simple teaching of our Lord Jesus. It's deep, but pretty straightforward about the Great Commission, pretty straightforward about so many things. And we want to thank you that you are just removing all the complications that we've added on with our own mental mind and thought process and that, and just stripping that there. So it's just that simple, pure love for you, your knowing your love for us, walking in faith, just listening to you and responding to you and just living this incredible life that is in your Son Jesus. So today we want to just worship you, Father. We want to just get excited, my God, for being alive, for being involved with you. And so today, as you help us to truly, in a sense, forget about the current mindset of our issues and of all these things, and to receive and begin to live from you, having your mind regarding things that life that we have in your Son Jesus. So we want to thank you, Holy Spirit, as you teach, as you guide, as you lead us this morning. And we give you the praise and honor for this day through your Son Jesus, Father. Amen. Amen. We've been looking at that portion in scripture in Romans chapter 6. And remember, the context that we're looking at all of this is right from the beginning of Romans 1, where Paul speaks about the gospel of God, God's good news to mankind. And that's what we've been looking at. The Spirit of God is helping us to understand what this good news is and how to live in the newness of life. Many have been born again into the new life, but not many know how to live in the new life. Okay. And so that's what he's teaching us on how we live in this incredible newness of life that we have in Christ Jesus. And just to go back to our definition of salvation, remember, we're looking at is God delivering us from the full consequence of the fall and of sin. And so that is what we're looking at then. That's why Paul speaks about he's not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation. And so for mankind to be delivered from the fall, from the consequences of sin, we need the power of God to do this, not our own ability. That's why man cannot save themselves. That's why man could not, by keeping the law could save themselves. We need God. And that's why salvation is a gift from God. Salvation is all about the grace of God. It's God's initiative. It's the act of God. Everything is God doing it through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we're looking at there. And so for our lives to experience this new life, we've got to understand what the salvation is all about. Most of us, as I said, you get born again and that's it. And you just go to living a pretty decent life, but there's far more. There's living how to live in the newness of this life. And that is big. That's huge. It's far more than what we can even comprehend and imagine, as we go forwards walking with God in this area. And so that's what we've been looking at. And that's been the background. And we also probably got one of the most important truths that God is speaking to us in that, which we looked at there in Romans chapter 5. And I'm just repeating because today I'm wanting to go into what is the personal sin? What is the body of sin? So that we understand the difference between the original sin, the old humanity in Adam. But now, what about our body? Why do we still battle with sin within us? What's the issue over there? How do we get the victory over there? Because that's the body of sin. And so just to help us, and it'll open up a lot of scripture as this has been released today and over the next few weeks, will give all of us a greater understanding of many other scriptures that we read and we know it, but we're just not sure actually what the depth, what the deeper meaning is of some of these scriptures. And that'll open up now. So as we look at this, I want to go back to Romans chapter 6. When Paul writes there, verse 1, I'm just looking at verse 1 basically to 4 again. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism in death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And then in verse 4 onward, for if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. And this is the key. Our old self, that's the old humanity, was crucified with him so that the body of sin, the body ruled by sin, might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. And we carry on over there. But here we have, from the last few weeks, remember that the grace of God reigns through the gift of righteousness. Christ, the gift of righteousness that you and I have as believers, is Christ's righteousness, and his righteousness has been credited to our account, remember, imputed to us. So that righteousness of Christ now belongs to you and I. That's our position. That's our standing. And the grace of God reigns through this gift of righteousness that we have received by faith and enables us to be able to live a life that overcomes, to live a life that moves us and empowers us to live in the truth of the old Adam, the old humanity that we were in Adam, has been put to death. And now we are living the new humanity in Christ and living in the reality of that grace that reigns. And there's a difference between grace and grace that reigns. And that's why with Jesus, when in John chapter 1, verse 14 and verse 16, where it speaks about that where the law came through Moses, but in Christ, it was the fullness of truth, the fullness of grace, grace upon grace. So it's in Christ Jesus that we see the fullness of the truth and also the fullness of this grace. And that's why, for instance, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, or let's go to Colossians chapter 2 rather, one's the same over there concerning Jesus, for he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form. Now verse 10, and our completeness is now found in him. This is the new life. Remember, we're no longer living that old life that was in the Adamic realm. We are now living as a new creation in Christ, so that old humanity, that original sin and the consequence of that original sin, the power of sin, that the fallen nature, all of that stuff that is from the Adamic man, that's not you and I as believers. We've been taken out of that sphere. We've been taken out of that influence. We've been taken out of that reality. We are now in Christ Jesus. Okay? So he is our fullness. Now our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. And that is the reality for us as believers. And so this is now the way we start to think concerning how we as who we are as children of God, our life as a child of God, and it's important for us to start to have the same mindset as what God is busy sharing with us through scripture, because that's the connection that brings about the inner transformation as we all look at that scripture just now about being transformed by the renewing of the mind. And that, so it carries on over there. Through our union with him, we have experienced the circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. For we have been buried with him in his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection's power, the power that raised him from that death realm. That death realm describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp. But now we have been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive, forgiven of all our sins. Okay, and it carries on, for he has cancelled out every legal violation and the whole reality of triumphing on the cross. And so that is where we've been for a few weeks, and we're going to continue all the time for a while now as we look at the difference between the original sin and personal sin. And today is more of a foundation, more of a introduction to the reality of what personal sin is, because the question is, as a child of God, I've been taken out of that realm of sin. Why is it that I find myself sinning? Okay. What's the cause of that? How do I get the victory in that area? And that's what we're looking. That's why Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, he didn't say to the guys, go and change politics, go and change business, go and change this, go and change that. He gave them the Great Commission because when we understand salvation, everything else changes. So it's not trying to change from the outside. The change comes from the inside and bringing the impact of a transformed life in every sphere of society. And that's why he just gives those 11 disciples the Great Commission. Go and do that. because salvation is the power of God. You see, the gospel is the power of God for salvation, and salvation is taking people out of the dominion of darkness. It's taking people out of the consequence of the fall and of the consequences of sin, taking them out of that, bringing them into the kingdom of God. And that's our focus, and we stay over there. Otherwise we get sidetracked in so many other things. And that, so just another thing here, because I don't think we've connected the dots in this particular area. Remember, faith is a gift. And so when you and I received the righteousness of Christ, when you are believed what Jesus has done for us, we received that gift of faith. God became very real. Christ became very real. We were totally persuaded that what we're hearing is absolute truth, and we responded and we received that. That's the believing part. That's the work part of faith, is responding to it and accepting that and to live in the reality of that belief. Now, grace reigns. And when we look at that Hebrews chapter 11, and we look at the famous chapter of the heroes of faith, as often we would refer them to, and we ask ourselves, how did they conquer? How did they live? How did they experience the victories? How did they, the things that took place? You see, remember with Abraham, because often people will say, well, it must have been really tough for Abraham to offer his son Isaac. But remember with Abraham, it's like all those people in recorded in Hebrews and many, many more, they believed God. God credited faith as righteousness. So as they believed, as Abraham believed God, he was credited righteous. What happens? Grace reigns through righteousness. And so Abraham was experiencing the reign of grace in his life, that in his weaknesses was able to offer his son. The same with David, with everybody that simply believed the promise of God. That faith was credited to them as righteous, and grace was operating through that gift of righteousness that God gave to them. And so that is why they were able to conquer kingdoms. That's why they're able to do so many things, because they were experiencing the grace reigning through that incredible righteousness that was imputed to them because they simply believed. See, and we've got to realize that. That's why you and I, as we simply believe now in the fullness of truth, which is now found in Christ Jesus, how much more do we experience this grace upon grace. And we are such an incredible blessed people to be in a relationship with God through his son Jesus Christ. So that's just to help you that to understand when Paul says in his human weakness, God's grace is made, you know, it's manifested. The power of God is made known in his weaknesses. It's the same, you and I. You simply believe it, but you have the gift of righteousness because you've accepted Jesus Christ. That's been imputed to our lives. And you've got to know that in your human weakness, there is a grace of God that's reigning, that gives you the power, the ability to overcome, the ability to be able to walk in the newness of life. And that's a gift from God. That's the heart of God for you and I. And that's why people like Moses could lead the people throughout Egypt, you know, out of Egypt. And so, because he simply believed what God spoke to him, and grace was operating through his life. Otherwise, it would have been humanly impossible to do what he had done. And so we see that. Okay. So that was just a sideline. Now here we have Paul writing in back to Romans 6, and he speaks about this here. For we have been united with him. Or first of all, in verse 4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. Just for a moment, Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. We too may live a new life. In other words, just as the resurrection of Jesus Christ was done by the glory of God, so likewise with you and I, your incredible born again experience has the exact same reality of you and I being born again, raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. See, our salvation wasn't just a thing. Our salvation, when God became real to you and I and we believed, you've got to know that you had the same fullness of God that raised Christ from the dead. We had the same fullness of God, the same glory. That word glory there is the full perfection of God, the fullness of God. The fullness of God was totally involved in your and my time of being born again. See, it is a work of God. It's a miracle. It's supernatural. This is, you will do well to meditate on this, because you will realize the incredible grace and the goodness of God and the love of God through Christ Jesus in his total involvement in bringing us to that place of being born of the Holy Spirit. And that's why for instance, in John again, in chapter 1 and verse 10, let me just read that over there. Or let me go verse 11. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. See, guys, this is all I say. Please meditate on that. It's a life-changing truth to know that you're not alone. To know that as you believed, you're born of God. As you believed, when God gave you the faith to believe, that full power, that fullness of God, God himself, that glorious expression of God's perfections and everything about God was totally involved in bringing you out of darkness into his kingdom as his child. We are his children. We have become his children. He gave us the right now to come to become his children. We are children of God. And now that's why the mindset is so crucial, because this mindset of realizing this, we were raised from the dead by the glory of God, we too may live a new life. See, so it all starts of realizing the reality of God involved in our salvation, realizing now that we're in this new life, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too now have been raised with him into this newness of life as a child of God, accepted by God. That original sin, as we looked at last time, has been dealt with. That's not our realm. And during the week, Audrey was sharing, because Audrey was asking, sorry, Audrey, if I use you as an example, and Rachel as well. Audrey was just sharing. She was asking the very question about, what does it really mean to be dead to sin? Because Paul writes here, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And that's a profound truth. Now, so Audrey was asking, and the Lord just gave her the amazing, just a simple understanding. Her mother has passed away. And so it was just simply the influence of the world. What influence of this world has it on her mother that's no longer in this world? You see, no matter what's happening in this world, has got no influence on her at all. Her mother is out of this world, totally gone out of this world. And that's the realm, that's the reality of you and I. As you and I have been born again, as we have been taken out of that realm of that Adamic original sin, we're totally out of that. So no longer are we in that realm where the power of sin operates. No longer are we in the realm where the consequences and all that rules our life. We are in a total new realm in Christ Jesus, in the kingdom of his son Jesus Christ, our total new realm. And so that's why the Great Commission, guys, when we are discipling people, this needs to be established. Otherwise, they're going to be battling all the rest of their life to try and live a decent Christian life. And they're going to be plagued by guilt, plagued by condemnation, because they are finding over there that their mindset has not been renewed. The way they have not yet received the truth about the original sin and what it is to be set free. And Rachel, we were chatting, and Rachel also, you know, when Jesus speaks about the strong man in Matthew 12, for instance, and he speaks about, unless you bind the strong man, you cannot enter the house and take all the belongings. And that, and for her, it was such a truth is that what Christ has done in dealing with the original sin is like binding the strong man, so that now everything else is loosed. So now the personal sin and all that there now hasn't got no more hold over us because of that strong man of the original sin, which has been bound by our Lord Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. That's why Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. And that's the reality of that. And I thought that was also a good scripture to connect what God is busy sharing with all of us. So we were raised to this new life, but notice what Paul writes here. For we know that our old self, now this old self in verse 6, that's the old humanity. Okay. This old self was crucified with Christ Jesus. That's what we've been speaking about. That's the old human being that you and I were while we were still in Adam. With Christ's death, we died with him. Because Christ put to an end that old Adamic humanity. In his resurrection, we've been raised with him into the new life in Christ Jesus. So now we've been taken out of that realm. So that Adamic influences, the power of sin, the fallen nature, all of that stuff, the consequences of sin, all of that stuff that used to influence us, that used to have an authority over our lives, no longer has that authority. We've totally been removed from that authority, totally been removed from that power, totally, totally, totally. We are in Christ Jesus. In him, there is no sin. You see, that's our position in Christ Jesus. And it's by faith that we have received this incredible position in Christ Jesus. Okay, so that's the old self that we're talking about over here. So that, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that in order for the incredible reason and purpose, the body ruled by sin might be done away with. Now this body ruled by sin, that is our human body. It's the flesh. Okay. And that's the reality that even as believers, is a reality in our lives. Okay? Now, in Romans chapter 7, when you go through Romans chapter 7, you will see this reality. And Paul would say, but you know what? It's no longer I that's sinning, but it's sin that's within me. You see, because we're not speaking about you now as a new creation in Christ. We're speaking about the physical body, because in the physical body, the reality of sin is still operating. Okay? And you, over the weeks, you will see the incredible freedom of all of us. So as a new creation, so your spirit, your soul, you as a person, you are there in Christ Jesus. You are living in a realm totally separated from the power of sin, totally separated from the consequences of sin. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's you and I. That's who we are. But our body still has the reality of sin in it. That's why, for instance, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, let me read that over there. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we eagerly await for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. That still has to take place. Okay. But that doesn't mean that you and I need to submit to that sin in our body. And that's the joy, that salvation that you and I experience. And so again, so remember, for we know that our old self, the old human that we were in Adam, was crucified with Christ, so that now this physical body that is ruled by sin might be done away with. In Galatians, let me go to Ephesians 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live. This is all of us when we were still in that Adamic realm. Every unsaved person is in that Adamic realm, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our body, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, and following its desires and thoughts. That's when man fell, when sin entered the world, sin took hold of body, soul, spirit, the whole complete person. We get born again and we find now that we are a new creation. So our spirit and our soul, everything, it's in another realm. It's out of that dominion of darkness, but not our body as yet. Okay. And so just as every unsaved person, just as you and I lived before while we were still in Adam, we also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, gratifying the cravings of the body of sin, gratifying the cravings of the body ruled by sin, and following its desires and thoughts. That's the reality. But now in Christ Jesus, that was God raised us up with Christ, seated with us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And that's our reality. And that's why now with salvation, and that's why we also see when Paul speaks about life by the Spirit, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, indulge the body of sin. Don't use your freedom, because that's not us anymore. That power of sin is broken. Now we don't have to yield to that. We don't have to listen to that anymore, because salvation in Christ Jesus deals with the power of sin, deals with the reality of the personal sin. And so when Paul, or when John writes, for instance, in 1 John chapter 3, when he writes there in verse 7 onwards over there, or no one who lives in Christ Jesus keeps on sinning. Why would John write that? Why would God share this if it was impossible? This is important because as you and I making disciples, as you and I experience a victory of salvation in our lives, the power of salvation in delivering us from the original sin, but also delivering us from personal sin, from that power that always controlled us to commit personal sin, this is crucial in making disciples. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning, and no one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Guys, this is strong language. But this is truth. Because we've died. We're no longer in that realm of sin. Sin has no influence on us anymore. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Because no longer are we living in that old Adamic, which was the unrighteous name. No longer do we have the power of sin operating within us. No longer. That's not our reality. We are dead to that. We are now alive in Christ Jesus. We are living a new life in Christ Jesus. Okay? Then he carries on. Dear children, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil. because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That's the whole reality, as we've been looking in the past few weeks, of the Adamic nature. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. What more can we say? It is such a truth. What John is saying over there, guys, everyone that's been born of God cannot continue to sin, because that life of the Adamic nature is no longer your nature. It's no longer your realm. You don't live in that realm. And so if we find ourselves saying, oh, we've been born again, and we continue to live just as we lived when we were still in Adam, we lie. We're not a child of God. Not at all. We who have been born again and now find ourselves that the power of sin is broken, and now we have an incredible reality of the life of Christ, the power of the law of the Spirit of love operating within us, we are the children of God. We are born again. And even then we do occasionally sin, because that sin is speaking about the lifestyle of what we used to live when we were still in Adam, following the desires of the human body, following the desires of that sin operating in the flesh. That's that lifestyle he's talking about. That's not us anymore. Okay, we've been taken out of that. We've got a new life in Christ Jesus, the newness of life. And so it's crucial as we go into this more and more. And so Paul writes over there back in Romans 6, he says over there, for we know that the old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled might be done away with, ruled by sin might be done away with. Now, let me just quickly go over here. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we'll also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your flesh, in your body, so that you obey its evil desires. Sin is still in the human body. That still operates. But now, because we are in Christ Jesus, now, because the power is broken, now we can say no. Now we can be in that place where we do not allow sin to operate in our body. See, that's what we will call sanctification in theology. Because that power, that's not who we are anymore. That's why the renewal of the mind is such a big part in this. As God shares with you this, and by faith you simply receive this and you start to think this way, something profound takes place in one's life. We're going to come back to this next week as well over there. I'm just introducing it, but let me give you a scripture over here that is so, so crucial. We read over here in Ephesians 2, you were taught with regards to the former way of life to put off the old self. This is now the old humanity. We were taught how to put it off. How were we taught? Well, Paul said, now reckon yourself dead to sin and alive. See, you're using your mind in agreement with the truth, and you're acknowledging the truth. He carries on, with regard to the former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. That's the body of sin. To be made new in the attitude of your mind. This word attitude is the word spirit. In other words, what this word means over here is that, let me read it over here. It's a spiritual nature of the inner man. Now you and I, the spiritual nature of the new man that you and I are in Christ Jesus. We put that mindset on. We have that mindset. We have that helmet of salvation, the mind of Christ as our reality. What takes place now when we now knowing that we are a new creation, now as we start to think in regards to the truth, to be made new in the attitude and the spirit of your inner being, of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And then carries on, never put off the old, except to put on in that there. Now, one last scripture. I see time is gone. Let me just give you one last scripture here, just to highlight something. Romans 12. Now, the context, you and I, as a believer, we out of Adam. We have no longer the power of sin operating within us. Now, because we are no longer slaves to sin, we are no longer servant to unrighteousness. We no longer offering our bodies. We no longer offering our body, a physical body. We no longer yielding to the desires that operating still within the physical body. We no longer yielding to that. Now we are offering our bodies as slaves of righteousness. Okay, that's the background. Now Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers as sisters and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. We don't understand this chapter 12, verse 1, if we don't understand this reality now of the original and personal and how that power is broken. And now our true worship, our true proper worship is totally something different. This word over here, the NIV speaks about this is your true and proper worship. This true and proper worship over here is that which is fully acceptable by God. That which is divinely reasonable. That which is well-pleasing to God. What's well-pleasing to God? Well, offer your bodies. So no longer are we offering our bodies to the desires of the fallen nature, to the body of sin, to the sin that still operates within our body. We are not offering that, but now we are offering this body as instruments of righteousness. We are offering our body now as this living sacrifice, which is a holy and pleasing to God, because we have received the power of the grace of God ruling and reigning. We have accepted the truth that no longer am I in that realm where sin dominates me. I'm out of that realm. Sin has no influence. No longer am I in that realm. I'm in this new realm in Christ Jesus. And so I'm offering my body. I'm choosing to agree with God. I'm choosing to say no to the desires of the flesh. And I'm choosing to say yes to God. Here is my body. It's a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing, which is your true proper worship. And then he carries on, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Why? Because we are no longer in that influence. We're no longer in that realm. The world system that's controlled by Satan, as we saw there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, 2 and 3 and 4, we're no longer that person. We're in a new realm. So we're not going to be conformed to the pattern of molded by this world way of thinking, this world way of doing stuff. No, not at all. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. But guys, as we close over here in Romans 6, that's why Paul writes there, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, in your physical body. Don't let that sin reign anymore. The power of sin is broken. Now, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as instruments of wickedness. No. But rather offer yourselves to God. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under the law, but under grace. So guys, I'm going to stop there. And then we're going to, as I said, this is more of an introduction and overall picture. And then we're going to go into more detail as we go on over there. But the main thing this morning is just to know that our human flesh, our human body, sin still operates in that there. If you look at Romans chapter 7, and that's why Paul will say, it's not I, but it's sin in me. It's not you, because you are seated with Christ. You were born again, but this body still has that sin operating in it there. But we don't have to give into that. We now choose not to yield to that because the power is broken. And now we yield to God. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. And that has a consequence. And that is a way of now learning how to live in the newness of life, which we will continue as we go on there. So meditate on this, and I've shared a lot this morning, but it's just, we will build on it. Okay. So as we have communion, it's just the time of just reflecting and giving thanks to God for the fullness of God involved in our salvation. The glory of God that raised Christ from the dead into the new life, the same glory of God that has raised you and I into this newness of life. And we want to just acknowledge and thank God for his incredible involvement. We're not alone, guys. We're not living a Christian life, just be giving our life to Christ. That's it. No, the fullness of God is involved. That's why, what's eternal life? To know God, to know him as the only true God and his son, Jesus Christ. And that's part of the fullness of life, is the knowing him and walking with him in our day-to-day life. So let's have the communion. Father, thank you. As you are showing us, Lord God, as we look, and this is going to open up on why, when we look at the seven churches in Revelations, and we see how some of them had severe warnings, because they had lost the truth of how to live in the newness of life. And we want to thank you, Lord God, that you are opening up for us as your family to be effective in the world, us as your children to have an impact, us as your children to be able to have a voice, to be able to shine, to be able to really manifest the trueness of who you are through our lives. And we thank you for teaching us. We want to thank you that you were giving us an understanding so that as people get born again, they have a starting point of not having to battle of the confusion of the original sin and the confusion of personal sin and the body of sin and these things there, but we'll know now that where they are and they've been taken out of. And so we want to thank you that you're giving us an incredible understanding of what it is to be in Christ Jesus, so that we can help the new believers, but even the old believers that are battling in old habits that they can't put to down. They're battling in just following the desires of the fallen nature of that flesh realm and just really struggling to be free. We do want to thank you that you are showing us how to live free, but not to, in our freedom, not to indulge in the flesh, because that's not our core, and how we live free, how to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. So we do not gratify, but we now experience your newness of life, the fruit of the Spirit. So we want to thank you, Jesus, what you have done for us. Lord, we cannot express our love and our worship and just, overwhelming sort of wow, and how you gave your life so that we can come out of that old Adam and be found in you into this new creation. And we want to thank you for that. So we want to celebrate this morning that no longer are we in that realm of Adam. We're in your realm, seated with you, Jesus, so we can have communion with you, celebrating your body, celebrating your blood, celebrating the incredible truth of the new life in you. So we thank you for that, Lord. But what a joy that we're not alone, but with all the heavenly hosts, we can eat together this morning and just celebrate together, just rejoice and just worthy are you, the Lamb of God. So we bless you for this moment that we can be. Just take the time out to celebrate you, Lord Jesus, and thank you for that. Amen. Amen.